I don't watch sports much, but I appreciate the sports ball. My dad was an avid sports fan, so I grew up at least being around the watching of the Seattle Supersonics, the Seahawks, and of course, our beloved University of Washington Huskies. UT fans might have heard of them. I watched that great Husky game last week, and we'll have another one tomorrow, but the technology of watching the sports these days is amazing, right? It's not the 80s anymore. It's so incredible. There's cameras in every possible location so that everything is replayed from all angles. And there's people with being able to draw on the thing and they have graphics. It's just amazing. It essentially eliminates any ambiguity as to whether someone did or did not play by the rules. As I watched in amazement at this amazing technology in detail, I thought, something. If we had that in regular life, if we had the ability to replay in slow motion from every angle what went wrong in any given scenario, if there was a panel of experts there to comment on a fight we had with our loved one and pointed out just where it went sideways here, right here, when they said something about her mother, and could definitively place blame. And then, of course, refer to a referee in a striped shirt that could say, unnecessary sarcasm, automatic first down. It would be very illuminating, I think, for us to have that kind of clarity, especially at times like this, when we are taking stock of our lives at the beginning of the new year, reflecting on who we were made to be. Unfortunately, and let's be honest, fortunately, most of the time for those of us broken humans, we don't have a fleet of cameras and people doing real-time graphic illustrations of our successes and failures. It is often impossible for us to go back in time and definitively place blame or responsibility, and we are forced to navigate as best as we can and hopefully learn from our many and varied mistakes so that we can try again. Our scriptures this morning are all about new beginnings. The beginning of the creation story, the beginning of the missionary church's infusion with the Spirit, and the beginning of Jesus' ministry in his baptism. Each of these beginnings was not out of nothing. The Genesis text refers to the formlessness of the void, but not of nothingness. God enters in and sends wind over the waters and began to formulate what we inhabit and call home, reminding us that when we see no possibility, God is just getting started. The Acts story speaks of believers who had already been in ministry and already done all kinds of good work in the name of Jesus. They had been faithful, but they were given new insight and power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This reminds us that no matter how much we've learned and how far we've gone in the faith, we always have something new to be revealed in the Spirit. And the gospel shows us again how far God is willing to go to show us a new beginning. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus did not need to jump through that hoop, but Jesus did so that we would see what is possible in grace. Jesus showed us solidarity in every human circumstance and then showed us how God is bigger than even our wildest imaginations. Think about it. God showed us solidarity in the mundane. So much of our lives are just rote, right? It's our routine. Jesus had a normal childhood, and aside from other than running away that one time, seemed to get through it pretty well. Jesus shows us that God allows the ebb and flow of our normal day-to-day life to form us into faithfulness. Jesus showed us solidarity in grief. Remember, he wept over his friend Lazarus moments before he drew him out alive again from the tomb, showing us that death is not more powerful than God. Jesus showed us solidarity in our frustrations. He joined those who were fed up at the temple with the cheating and the taking advantage of folk, and he showed us in his resurrection that the temple was restored, that the temple is not brick and mortar, but flesh, and that our lives, our relationships together become the body of Christ. Jesus showed us solidarity in relationship, in his complex relationship with family, with his friendships, with those closest to him, including Judas, who betrayed him. And then he showed us how relationship can be transformed into viral goodness in the ways that his nearest and dearest spread his message of hope and love after his ascension farther than one finite life ever could. It's still spreading, even today. And in our text this morning, Jesus showed us solidarity in baptism, the outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace that allows us to always begin again. Our lives, as it turns out, thank God, are not televised football games with referees. They are messy. They're complicated. There are no winners or losers, and sometimes, quite frankly, it seems like it's all loss. We can't go back and replay things. We can't redo them. We can't make up with them with a simple penalty. Instead, we have to embark on the messiness, asking for forgiveness, and doing the hard work of dealing with our own brokenness, living into our healing. The promise of baptism is not a one-time fix for our sinfulness. We're Lutherans and understand that we're simultaneously sinner and saint at all times, right? The complicated concoction of humanity that we are. And the promise of baptism is also not an invisibility cloak for getting through life. We're not able to go through life without pain and suffering. If that were true, Cecile would be sitting back here, not in the ICU at BAMC. The promise of baptism is a way to remember our true identity. The heavens may not have been visibly torn apart when you were baptized as they were when Jesus was in the Markan account. But make no mistake, that same miracle that happened in him and being claimed by God is present in you as well. At Jesus' baptism, the voice of God did not say, "Now that he is officially baptized, he is my son." Baptism simply revealed who Jesus was, as it does for each of us, beloved children of God. We have a heaven-sent identity, and baptism is a formal and unending invitation to life abundant, always and ever invited to begin again. We can embrace this as much or as little as we want. But I propose that in 2024, we fully immerse ourselves in it. That we remind ourselves and each other of the fact that we are God's beloveds. That we take this communal trip around the sun and practice what it means to begin again in every circumstance. Knowing that through God's grace, we can be healed. And we can be a part of healing others. That we can forgive. That we can be forgiven, that we can love, that we can be loved. We will mess up, believe it, and thank goodness we will not have to watch the replay and someone drawing on the screen just how bad it was and how bad we messed up and what we should have done better. But when we do, we get to claim our baptism, our God-given empowered right, our inheritance of grace. If you need to, you can splash some water on your face if you need this tangible reminder. And know that new beginnings are God's specialty. Happy New Year, Church. Amen.